You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Crow Pot contains language and themes which may not be suitable for everybody. Secondhand news on the Crow Pod here, Monday, October 23rd. Nice to come back and be able to talk after a win here. Of course, Secondhand News Crow Pod brought to you in part by our good friends at Blue Room Art. Check them out, blueroomart.co.uk. They got nice, high-quality Rangers canvas prints and all that kind of stuff by Rangers fans, for Rangers fans, etc. And they've been nice enough to give us a piece to give away here at the end of the month on the Crow Pod. All you got to do, support the show, go down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link here in the notes. You can either just give us like a one-off donation and get entered, or you sign up as a monthly Crow Pod supporter. You get entered every single month. So thanks again to Blue Room Art. Again, blueroomart.co.uk. 4-0 and a pretty thorough dispatching of Hibs at home. And Fluey. Clement, God damn it, I'm going to have a hard time with his name as long as he's there. Philippe Clement, first match in charge. I don't think we could hope for a better introduction for the guy. I mean, we still obviously issues on the park, some reared their head, but, you know, safely and effectively took control of the match. Even with Don Robertson doing his best Kevin Clancy impression out there. But I think, you know, one of the key things, and I think Clement had said it earlier in the week, was concerns over fitness. Reiterated those again after the match. I mean, it's concerns that, you know, we've had watching this club under Beal. We have him under Gio too. It's shocking how far the fitness levels dropped off post Gerard, and the lack of emphasis to regain those. I mean, one of the biggest things that we had in the 55 season was the fact that we would beat the shit out of teams from the 60th minute onward, where they were just completely gassed and our guys were still, you know, fucking peak fitness. I don't know if we changed to coffee. But, it's nice even to have a manager. Not only is he paying lip service to the idea, but he's obviously going to put in place, structures to bring those fitness levels back. Obviously, he couldn't do it in a week, but, you know, it's something that is obviously critical and important to him, something that we rarely heard Gio and certainly not Beal discuss during their time here. Something that we could all see slipping away. And, you know, when it's that patently obvious, just regular people like us in here watching a match can see it. It's, God, it shouldn't get that bad. You know, we should have the best fitness levels in the goddamn league. We have the best facilities. We should be able to afford the best player. We should have the highest fitness levels. That should be one of the minimum expectations that we have. And it seems to be an expectation of the manager going forward. Overall, again, an impressive performance. Hibs, I mean, the way they set up was going to, lend itself to us being able to find space in behind them. You know, often they were playing almost a 2-3-5 in possession and giving James Tavernier every goddamn acre of space that he could possibly want out there on the right. I mean, there was room for him and the pigeons. And, you know, those overloads that we kept creating out there were the things that created the goals. I mean, I'm trying to think here. Was it the second one? I think that was it. We just kind of sat there and cycled the ball on the right until finally, you know, something opened up. I think, you know, maybe most impressive, again, this goes back to fitness levels. I mean, we can't deny this, but just how effective our high press was, especially given, you know, I mean, Hibs were really relying on, was it Newell and I forget who the other fucking center midfielder is there, but, you know, basically just sitting in front of their back line, almost two holding midfielders there trying to work through. And, I mean, they got, you know, couple decent opportunities out of that, but obviously not able to provide any kind of finish today. And meanwhile, you know, the work rate, well, the front three, well, four even. I mean, God, Sam Lammers, Jesus Christ, man. I mean, the kids, I don't know. It's like he's, fuck, I don't know, somebody said on Twitter, it's like he's allergic to fucking scoring. I mean, it's like I said, you could fall out of a boat and not hit water. It's just, God, it's hard to watch that. I mean, you know, it's hard to watch it as a fan because it's driving you fucking crazy seeing this match after match after match. But I will give him credit. His overall contribution to the game was good. I mean, he played a key role in at least two of the goals, I want to say. Him and Dessers both working incredibly hard out of possession. Cutting off again, you know, Hibs trying to play right through the middle of the park. And, you know, it wasn't, you see that sometimes where there's like a press for the sake of a press. And we were really good at getting in between, you know, the passing lanes and the angles that they were trying to use to play out of the back. Both of them did a great job. Dessers finally, you know, finding the net. After the Cantwell pass that, none of us could fucking believe, but Cyril Dessers kind of looked like he couldn't either because it took him a look. How long it was taking him to get the ball out from under his feet was giving me a little bit of fear there. But, again, you know, Clement talked about the need to cut off or cut out stupid transitions, be they getting caught out of position when out of possession, or just wasteful passes in transition that don't really build toward any end product. And, you know, overall, I don't think we saw really any of that. And as far as debuts go, I'm not sure we could have asked for much better. I know, you know, there was a lot of concern when we saw the lineup. My God, look at this team. What's it? But, yeah, I mean, come on. What's he going to do? He's got the same players available to him that Mick Beale did. You know, speaking of Mick, buddy, I mean, at least he finally deactivated or something his Twitter account. His agent had to have called him and been like, mate, get the fuck off the internets. You were being paid for another 5.5 months to do fuck all. So shut up. Don't create problems. Get your pay packet. There you go. I mean, using your burner account and, oh, man, that's just embarrassing. It's a real, real hard breakup kind of energy there from the former manager. Not what you like to see. You know, it's Sterling reputation, obviously tarnished already, but, yeah, you got to knock that shit off, buddy. You got to move on. You know, it's okay. It didn't work out. But you can't stay hung up on that kind of shit, man. You got to move it. Go get your hole somewhere else, brother. We're done with you here. It's fine. See ya. Quick break. Come back. More second hand news here on the Crowbot.
Balls, I don't relate to any of the music they're playing at all. But I'll get by with a little. Alcohol, tobacco, caffeine, ephedrine, and orange juice.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, back for part two, Second Hand News, Monday, October 23rd here on the Crow Pod. Again, everything, we are giving away more stuff from our friends, the famous, at the end of the month. We've already given away a bunch of shit from them. All right, people, you got your, some people have got their packages already. Some are in the post. I don't even know. But, of course, our good friend over there, Graham, giving us some great stuff to give away every single month here on the Crow Pod. Again, all you got to do is sign up, support the show, get entered, win some stuff. Thefamousheadwear.co.uk. And if you didn't know, which if you're listening to this, you probably do, but Graham over there designed us a fantastic scarf, Crow scarf, available. Again, scroll down, find the link. If you're a member, supporter, like a monthly supporter of the show, you get a discount. Just make sure, you know, there's one for UK shipping, one for international. Just pick the right one if you want. We're taking pre-orders now through November 5th. Again, from our great friends over there at the Famous. Don Robertson. Now, we've had issues with him in the past, I would say. And he does a really good job. I don't know. He doesn't appear outwardly bent like Kevin Clancy is. It's more subtle. But, you know, I mean, I can think back on matches that he's done for us. I don't know. I was thinking, like, what was that, 2018 against when Kilmarnock beat us at home? I think it was Boyd with the late winner there. And, you know, you have these matches with him at Ibrox where, you know, rightfully, we've got 60% of possession, 65% of possession. And yet we still get blown up for almost twice as many fouls as the opposition. We didn't have those kind of numbers Saturday, mostly because Hibs were insistent on every single forward movement for some reason, starting at the feet of David Marshall, which, look, I don't, if it works for you in the rest of the league, Godspeed, man. I don't know. I don't get it. I would not want, you know, the entire, well, the forward progress of my side beginning again with David Marshall. But that skewed, obviously, the possession numbers. In the first half, I think they just edged it. But again, a lot of that was, you know, him standing with the ball at his feet while Dessers and Lammers looked to cut off every single passing angle he had to get the ball out. And that, again, forced them into longer passes than they want to use. And we say, well, it's, yeah, we win. Rangers win. I was shocked when Miller even got booked. I mean, that's how bad it was. And, you know, it's those things where he'll let fucking 10 fouls go from them. I might exaggerate. 20 fouls go from them. Before he's finally puts the whistle to his mouth. And meanwhile, of course, we're going to get blown up for the softest ass fucking shit possible. You know, I mean, just think about the one where Ridvan was, you know, running free down the left. It was a clear foul. Maybe he, you know, had he gone down, I always hate that too. You know, if he'd gone down immediately, he would have given it. No, then give it. It's a foul. I mean, Jesus Christ. The guy's clear through with 30 yards of space in front of him. Obviously, it's a fucking foul. I think there was another one I don't know if it was Dessers or Seema in the middle. And I mean, Robertson is clear-sighted, you know, 8 yards away, nothing in between him and this rugby tackle taking place in the middle. Nothing there. Nothing in it. It's just, oh, you know, we're going to beat a drum. If you've been a long-time listener, this is the kind of shit I'm talking about. Like with VAR, it can't fix this, you know. Nothing can fix the fact that our refs were just awful. He's getting £1,000 for that performance. It'd be so much better off instituting, you know, ref training. So develop officials. But again, you know, everything the SFA does, everything the SPFL does, it's just the most amateur hackneyed bullshit possible. And that's how you end up with officials like that. Thankfully, Abdallah Seema, officials or not, the wonderful fucking brace. What was that? Is eight from seven on the left or something like that now? I don't know. Bad at keeping up with the stats, but just a brilliant, brilliant performance. And he has dominated the back pages here on Monday, rightfully so, as we, prepare to head back to Prague. And Stephen McGowan there, one of the, like, two or three good Scottish football journalists left. But, you know, Seema obviously had media availability. But the Mail there going with the headline, Ranger striker Seema ready for a hostile reception on his return to Prague. Can we just be clear what kind of hostile reception that we're talking about, right? This is not McGowan's fault. In fact, I don't really, you know, his article didn't really go chasing down this. But we got a few more days before, you know, we're back there. I don't think you're going to get much out of, let's say, I don't know, Keith Jackson. Certainly not Graham Spears. Talking about this kind of stuff. I think Keith Jackson's still trying to blame Calvin Bassey for what's happening at Ajax right now. What's the commonality there? Anyway. You know, I think it's important. Well, I'm sure as a club, you know, we're going to prepare the players for this kind of stuff. I think it's critical that the club be ready for the worst to happen. You know, it's not, well, I don't know. I don't think that's unreasonable at all. I think our response, you know, after the Glenn Kamara incident back in 2021 was overall, good. And, you know, if you want to go back, actually, I'll put a link to this because I it's still important. And this, the show still stands up. But of course, I our good friend Gordon Watson on, after the Kamara incident, for a rather lengthy chat about, well, racism in football and why we still have to deal with this kind of bullshit. You know, I mean, we saw it again in Seville at the weekend. 10-year-olds, it looks like, giving monkey gestures to Vinny Jr. It's just... Man, it's just depressing shit. I mean, but you know, look, it's gonna happen at Sparta. We know it will. Seema, of course. I mean, not unfamiliar with the situation. I mean, he scored a brace against him playing for Slavia, so I'm sure, you know, as McGowan's piece hinted at there, his reception might be, well, a little cold. But cold reception, that's fine. Cold reception for opposition players is why people don't like coming to Ibrox. Cold does not mean racist. And, you know, UEFA, I mean, UEFA is too busy trying to come up with ways they can kill fans to worry about ever dealing with this stuff in earnest, right? So, you know, we can't count on the governing bodies to really had this stuff up, sadly. Thankfully, you know, as I said, again, go back. You can listen to the show with me and Gordon there from the time of the Kamara incident. You hate saying it, but at least Rangers, the club is well-versed in how to deal with this kind of stuff and should be able to manage expectations of the players. You would assume, you know, the leaders, whether it's Tavernier or Goldson, who are there, who've been there, can help steer some of the new players in who've not experienced this yet. And that, again, I don't think it's a question of if, but when it happens Thursday, that they maintain a level on the pitch and that the club responds in earnest when the match is over. Larry News, though, from the world, some continuing another trend. I don't know this fucking band's name. I don't give a shit. But a K-pop band apparently playing in Texas sometime late last week. I don't know, female K-pop. I don't know anything about this stuff. Not even going to pretend like I do. All I know is, as a good friend Marcus from Follow Follow pointed out there, took a page out of the Jack Irvin playbook, confusing the Texas Rangers for, well, Rangers, and showed up to their show in a pair of diced up 9-in-a-row kits, which I mean, there's got to be Rangers dads mourning heavily over the loss of these shirts on the resale market. But, I'm trying to, there was another guy who had like the 0405, I want to say, chain shirt in a video, the Diodora bin bag kit. God, those things are uncomfortable. But yeah, anyway, no. Good appearance from the 9-in-a-row kit on the stage. Continuing the recent trend of Rangers confusing the shit out of teenagers and 20-somethings everywhere. Much like Kenny Miller showing up at the trailer for a Taylor Swift fucking movie at cinemas across the country. I still, my God. I mean, you know, young ladies waiting weeks, months to go see a film made from the tour that they just went to. And there's Kenny Miller and Mark Warburton on the screen for you. Just unfucking believable. Coming up later this week in the Crow Pod, of course, the big show's here tomorrow. If you're on Twitter, get your questions in now for me and David and Todd. We are back on Tuesday this week because we're not hiring a new manager. And, you know, press conferences and shit like that. So just back on the regular Tuesday schedule. We will be back with more Don't Ask Me No Questions, I believe, on Wednesday. DJ coming back to join us again. And, we'll have more shows, more stuff, more everything. And like I said, don't forget, look, it's coming up. We got about a week left in the month, right? 8 days. 8 days left in the month. Giving away more stuff, not only from the famous. But again, our friends at Blue Room Art there have given us just a beautiful canvas print of Ibrox that will look great in any room of your house, right? That's the way. That's how you gotta sell it to the wife once it shows up. So, doing that at the end of the month, again, all you gotta do is support the show, support.thecopelandroad.org. Hit the thing in the show notes, the link in the show notes. Scroll down. There's more secondhand news from late last week. I talked quite a bit about gambling and sport off the back of the Tenali scandal and how baseball for years did it right until they stopped doing it right. And of course, like I said, go down, put a link in there for the show we did with Gordon Watson from back in 2021 after the Glenn Kamara, racism incident, which I think will be pretty informing as we prepare to return to Prague yet again. So, all that and more coming up this week on the Crow Pod. Thanks again. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
He's kind of a fucking serious at all.